us keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. A trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the grave. Near the cross, O Lamb, it seems before me, help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
It's been 5 weeks. 5.5 weeks since February 14th, 39 days since the beginning of the Lenten season. 5 Sundays have come and gone, and here we are on the brink of yet another Easter Sunday, roughly 157 hours from now. And if you're like me, Easter cannot get here soon enough. Some good news would be nice, and a healthy, risen Jesus would do the trick. Watching the children hunt for eggs and eating a real cheese pizza again wouldn't hurt either, I imagine. But as much as Target's Easter displays and Hobby Lobby's Easter sales want me to assume the resurrected posture already, I just can't do it quite yet. I still have on my mind, of all things, Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday, as you know, and as you may know, some of you participate in, is the official beginning of Lent. It kicks off the long slog to Jerusalem and the cross, complete with difficult yet optional callings of introspection and giving up and denying self. Jesus does that and suffers for it. Christians all over the world recognize Ash Wednesday by having a priest or a pastor streak on their forehead a charcoaled cross. From dust you are, and to dust you shall return, the minister says to the person whose face they are now touching. Repent and believe the good news. The Christian then leaves the church building and goes out into the world with that little gray smudge above their eyes, heading to work in their car, or to school on the bus, or back home on the train. Every Wednesday I go to Sam's to purchase food and items for Cafe Grace, and every year on Ash Wednesday, when I'm at Sam's, I still do a double take whenever I see someone shopping in bulk and in public with the mark of mortality and repentance illustrated on them for all to see. I know it's coming, and yet still it takes me by surprise. Maybe you've had that experience too. There's a photographer in New York City by the name of Greg Miller. For the last 20 years, Greg has been taking pictures of people who participate in the ritual of receiving ashes on Ash Wednesday. And he'll stand on street corners and ask them if he can take their picture. Most of the people say yes, which surprises him. Here's some of the pictures that he's taken. Dan, I'll take care of it. Here's another picture from Ash Wednesday of this year. Chelsea referred to this heartbreaking picture the first Sunday of Lent. It's from the day of the school shooting in Florida. What did you see in those photos? What did you notice? What did you hear? What Ash Wednesday and Lent do, what they first do before Easter gets here is lead us directly to the cross. There is no resurrection without the cross. No joy without the sorrow. No life without the death. If you look closely enough at people's faces today, Ash Wednesday still marks them. Though the embered sign is long washed away, even if they never actually received it, there it is, and it marks you too. From dust they are, from dust you are, and to dust they and you shall return. Repent and believe. That solemn mantra leads us to today, the beginning of Holy Week, when we remember Jesus' intentional arrival to Jerusalem. Since we've come this far with Him, let us courageously continue on. We've already heard this morning how the crowd celebrated Jesus as He entered into the city, and with freshly cut palm branches covering the Lord's table, let us now listen again and hear anew the next part of the story.
Now the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me." She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over.
On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of heaven." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
"You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it's written, 'I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same.
They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer.
Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, Rabbi, and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Am I leading a rebellion? Jesus said, that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. Then everyone deserted him and fled. A young man wearing nothing but a linen garment was following Jesus. When they seized him, he fled naked, leaving his garment behind.
They took Jesus to the high priest and all the chief priests, the elders and the teachers of the law. They all came together. Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. There he sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death, but they did not find any. Many testified falsely against him, but their statements did not agree. Then some stood up and gave this false testimony against him. We heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days will build another not made with hands. Yet even then their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? I am, said Jesus. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. The high priest tore his clothes. Why do we need any more witness? He asked. You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And they all condemned him as worthy of death. Then some began to spit at him. They blindfolded him, struck him with their fists, and said, prophesy. And the guards took him and beat him.
While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. You also were with that Nazarene Jesus, she said. But he denied it. I don't know or understand what you're talking about, he said, and went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, this fellow is one of them.
again. He denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." He began to call down curses and swore at them, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Immediately, the rooster crowed for the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times." And he broke down and wept.
Very early in the morning, the chief priests, with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You have said so," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of?" But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now it was the custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified.
The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him and twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes back on him. Then they led him out to crucify him.
A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him.
At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lima sabachthani," which means, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the younger and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there.
It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of a rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. Thank you. At the beginning of Jesus' last week, we read of the meal he ate with those closest to him, those he knew the best and knew him the best. Even though someone in the group would soon stab him in the back, Jesus took the bread anyway and broke it, passed the loaf around. Even though everyone else in the room would soon run away, Jesus took a pitcher of wine anyway and poured a cup for each of them. The bread and the wine of Jesus, his body and his blood, mean many things. Forgiveness of sin, the vastness of his love for creation, exposing the fraudulence of the powers that be, demonstrating a third way to live in the contrast of fight or flight. The bread and the wine that we share every single Sunday also means this: Jesus shares in our common humanity. He is not unfamiliar with suffering and shame and pain. He himself felt alone and exposed. He questioned the will and the plans of God that a cross could somehow heal the world. The crossed ashes that mark our foreheads marked his human body, his temples, his back, his wrists. We are not merely spectators of the event we read of today. We are participants in them. In the breaking of the bread, which is his body, and the pouring of the cup, which is his blood, we, in a way, reenact his death and his life. We choose to follow Jesus. We choose his life. We choose the cross. Unaware fully of what this might cost us, but trusting God in faith, even with doubt. Looking forward in hope to the day when Jesus himself will drink from the fruit of the vine in the complete, fully realized heaven come to earth kingdom of God. May have the servers come forward. I'm going to pray for the bread first, and then I'll get back and pray for the cup. Let's pray together. God, in the cross, we remember your Son's broken body. And in the bread, we see the broken body. As we eat it, feed us with it. Feed us with your presence in and among us. For this is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.